All right, welcome everyone. I think let's get kicked off in the interest of time. We've only got 20 minutes, so let's try and run through this as quick as we can. I will be available around the whole rest of the day today as well in the Water Solutions Center downstairs if anyone has any questions around any of our security solution sets. So just as an introduction, my name is Greg Kressel. For those that don't know me, I'm a consulting systems engineer and I work for Cisco. It's called Sub-Saharan Africa. So my area of coverage is kind of East, West, and South Africa, covering all of Cisco's cybersecurity solution sets from a technical pre-sales point of view. Okay, so I spend my day speaking to customers around our cybersecurity solution sets, trying to introduce people into what is Cisco doing in the security space. You know, everyone knows Cisco as a premium network vendor, and if we mention security, they kind of go, no, but you guys, you're the routing and switching guys, right? You sell those magic boxes that make the internet go faster, right? So that's all that we typically are known for in that space, but we're trying to change that perception. Cisco's been on a major strategy of acquiring other security companies and growing our portfolio. And ultimately, what we're trying to do with that is really move forward in helping customers advance their digitization efforts that they're going through in the industries, as well as advance the security that they put onto those platforms. So today, we're going to be speaking about a couple of different ways that Cisco can help digitize your network, and in that journey of digitization, help secure those networks in a very effective way. We're going to be covering around five different areas that we see as focus spaces for that. And again, you know, if there's any further questions, we're not going to be able to go into heavy, deep technical detail today yet, but that is part of what I do on a daily basis. So if there's anything you have questions on, come and speak to me afterwards downstairs in the Water Solutions. Also with that, I don't know if any of you guys have got some of those puzzle packs that we were handing out downstairs. When you leave the room today, hopefully you're going to give some great ratings on those forms that you have on your seats, and you'll collect a puzzle piece, all the missing puzzle pieces as you leave the room. Okay. That missing puzzle piece you can add to a puzzle that we have downstairs if you don't already have it, and we will present you with a small gift as well. All right. Just in thanks for attending the session. All right, so let's jump in. All right, so again, my details up on the board. You guys are welcome to take down my email address. And if there's any questions that you have after the event, please contact me directly. I don't mind any questions relating to product, to technical items within the product set, or anything you have questions on relating to Cisco security technology set. All right, so we speak about security enabling digitization. Now, what do we mean with that? Usually, if I speak about security, people probably think about it being an inhibitor to business, right? You know, hey, it's those security guys again. They're coming here, they're coming, they want to put their firewalls in. They basically are trying to disrupt what I'm trying to do from a business point of view in accelerating the application and accelerating the world, right? Now, we don't see it as that. We see it as an enabling tool to help you provide those digital services to your customers, but in a secure way. Now, there's several ways that we can do that, and there's reasons why we want to do it. Typically, if we look at what are the challenges, three main areas that we see challenges with when it comes to building networks, as well as securing those networks. Number one is we're seeing a massive disruption in the digital space. Now, what do we mean by that is more and more companies are digitizing their businesses. Let's think about the Ubers, think about the Airbnbs, think about guys that are out there building digital businesses. We're seeing a fundamental shift in people moving their strategies away from having just standard storefronts or having standard shops and moving to digital platforms, as well as enabling digital systems in their networks or in their environments to help advance their business systems. Analytics, etc., is an example of that. All right, now, the problem with that is that the more we digitize our businesses, the more we see an explosion in devices coming onto those networks. Now, the challenge with that, it means that we actually are growing the attack surface. So if I put on my security hat and I think about, you know, why should I be worried when I'm going to be having 50 billion devices on my network by the year 2020? As a security professional, as a networking professional, the reason why I'm worried about that is because the more I add to my network, the bigger the surface is, the bigger the attack surface is. You know, we hear about all these things happening out there. We think about, you know, IoT cameras being attacked. We hear about denial of service attacks being brought on from IoT type devices. We hear about people having things like ransomware attacks happening on their networks. You know, more and more digitization equals a greater attack surface, which equals bigger problems for security professionals, okay, and networking professionals. The other area, of course, to worry about is the adversaries. So what are the adversaries doing that is different? You know, we always used to just hear about these, you know, think about a hacker. Hacker's a guy sitting in a basement with a hoodie on, typing away furiously at a keyboard, right? That's not the reality. Hacking is a big business these days. We have industries that are built entirely off the back of hacktivism and denial of service and providing malware and providing services in that space. You know, some of the big ransomware networks and guys that have been taken down run it as a professional business. It's a money-making industry. They're doing it because they're making money off the back of it. So think of their business as also being a digital business. And when that is also growing, just think about how that interrupts the services that we could potentially have on our own networks. Okay, the third thing that we worry about also is the security industry itself. So Cisco being a security vendor, one of the largest players in the industry, with one of the broadest portfolios, as you'll see later on, really speaks to the efforts that we're seeing in the industry around what people are doing when they're investing in security. Now, the problem with most investments in security is that it's done piecemeal. It's typically done to address an issue. So, hey, I have an issue with ransomware, solution X. I have a solution, well, I have a problem with segmentation, solution Y. And all of this adds to the amount of plays that we have in the industry, the amount of devices that are coming onto customers' networks. And if you actually just look at our recent cybersecurity report, the mid-year report we just released last week, you'll see that we speak there about people having upwards of 50 different vendors just in the security space on some large networks. Now, the challenge with that is that how do you make that work together? It's fragmented. It's complex. Solutions don't talk to each other. You need to bring other third-party devices in to make those solutions speak to each other. So fragmentation, isolation, and complexity is really a major issue in the world of security. The dynamic threat landscapes, just working backwards from the bottom over there, speaks again to those adversaries. We need to be smarter about how we protect our networks. It's no longer just about thinking of the edge. You know, we don't speak about it in this presentation, but I always used to talk in the recent terms, if anyone has seen one of my talks, we'd speak about Cisco's model being the before, during, and after in protecting a network. The before speaks to building those boundaries, building those solution sets. And if we're just stuck in that before phase, you know, building the walls around our houses, how are we ever going to defend the rest of it? We need to be smarter about it. Think about what the adversaries are doing. Think about integration of the product sets and trying to make them work better together to add more effectively to your solution sets that you're providing. The changing business models, you know, back to the one on the left-hand side, is really just that explosion in devices, and the more complex the networks become, the smarter we have to become when we deploy security solutions on the back of it. So one of the metrics that we measure is something that we call the security effectiveness gap. Now, the security effectiveness gap really speaks to two things. It speaks about the capabilities that you're trying to grow to protect your networks. Now, as you can see, that kind of grows as you add more technologies and as you grow the space in your network. Right? So I want more capabilities because I need to provide greater protection to my networks. But the problem with adding capabilities is that I'm adding diverse technologies in most cases. And the reason why I do that is because I'm trying to fill these gaps. Right? So I've got a ransomware problem, I've got a firewall problem, I've got this problem. So I start to add more technologies. With that, what happens? The complexity just grows exponentially. Okay. We sit with that blue area in the middle that we mentioned as being the security effectiveness gap. It's not what we want. We want our capabilities to grow kind of in line with the complexities. You know, we don't want to be too complex, whilst it just becomes ineffective to manage. And because it's ineffective to manage, people just don't bother looking at security alerts. Okay, you know, we have some of the metrics, again, just back to that security report I spoke to a few minutes ago, in mentioning that probably around 50% of security incidents are just simply not investigated. And the reason why that happens is exactly what we're showing over here. It's too complex. I've got too many alerts coming in. I've got too many solutions. The complexity that's involved with that just doesn't really help me drive the capabilities I have to have in making my network security posture more effective. So what are we aiming for? Well, that's what we're aiming for, right? We want to grow the complexity with the capabilities. We want those to be kind of in lockstep with each other. If they lockstep with each other, we're being effective. And try and measure that area, right? That's something that we try and do. Cisco as ourselves in our own global network is something that we try and measure. We also try and measure a metric that we refer to as the time to detection or time to remediation. So if we think about it in this way, if an attack occurs on your network, how long is it before that you know that that has happened and that you have the capability to shut that down? Okay, we've been measuring that metric in Cisco's own internal network over the last about 3 years approximately. When we started off, we were probably at around about in the area of around 45 hours approximately between kind of infection and detection or capability to close. Now, that's pretty good. 40 hours is pretty good if you think about it. We mark that against the industry average, and we're seeing that at approximately 100 days. Now, just think about how crazy that is. That's almost like thinking of the analogy of saying, well, there's a guy in my house hiding behind my couch, stealing out of my fridge every night, and I didn't know that he was there for 100 days before I actually found him out. It's the same type of thing, right? People in your networks, attackers, you know, variants, botnets, etc., being there that we don't know about that are consuming our data and doing things that are, you know, who knows what they've been doing. So we try and shorten that metric down. In our latest report, we measured over a period of 6 months, kind of from January until the middle of this year, and we've closed that gap down to around about 3.5 hours. Now, how have we done that? The way that we've done that is with an architecture and with an integration that we have between the different product sets that we have. You know, Cisco, of course, being the company that we work for, uses our own product sets in a certain length of time, right? So we try and grow and incorporate more of our products into the portfolio, but we are not the be-all and end-all of everything. There's certain plays where Cisco doesn't play. I'll show you what the portfolio looks like in a moment or two, but of course there are areas where the Cisco doesn't meet that. You know, we try and be more effective, we try and acquire, we try and move into the spaces, but there are simply some areas where we have to partner. And we have a very effective partner base in the security space that helps us become more effective simply because the products are talking to each other. If they're not talking to each other, you've got that complexity versus capabilities map that is growing. Okay, so 3.5 hours is something that we currently see on our own networks, and I believe it's something that people should be aiming for and trying to measure in their own network area as well. All right, so if your network is becoming more digital, your security must evolve. Okay, we used to always speak about this, was a statement by our chief security officer saying, if you knew you were going to be attacked, would you do your security differently? Yeah. So we always got to keep that in the back of our minds. If we know that there's something, the crown jewels that someone wants, we need to protect that and make sure that we're doing it in an effective way. And doing it in a smart way. You know, all these different little solution sets that are there from different vendors and trying to add them up together is not effective. And again, you'll see that effectiveness versus complexity gap going. Okay, so we speak about architectures. You know, Cisco's known for building networks. Okay, we build the networks that power, you know, really just in the network, in the cloud, to the endpoint, etc. We think about the security portfolio, we're trying to marry that around different areas. We're thinking about mobile users, we're thinking about branch offices also becoming areas of concern for major companies. We think about roaming users becoming a very big concern. So what happens when my employees leave the organization that has effective security and go home, and then they bring that machine back the next day again? Okay, is that a concern to me? Should it be a concern? Yes, it should be. Okay. So how do we address that? How do we make sure that people are not... It's not about data loss. You know, I mean, that could be an area of concern. Yes, someone might be taking data out of the company. But it's probably more worrisome if someone's sitting behind their own home network, getting some form of a ransomware attack or targeted attack on that machine and bringing it back into the organization. Okay, so if we can extend that security all the way to wherever the user is, all the better for us. Okay, we also think about the corporate networks that I've been speaking about, right? Of course, having effective security in every single place around that posture helps us be more effective. And ultimately, the aim is exactly what we're doing over there. We're trying to raise the capabilities and drop the complexities behind that. You know, point product spaces are always a challenge. Now, there'll always be a need for point products. We can't discount that. Okay, so Cisco has what we refer to as kind of the best in-breed portfolio in integrated technology or integrated architecture. So we have the best in-breed product sets behind each one of these technology spaces that I'm showing up against the board. We play in each and every single one of these areas, either by means of organic growth that we've done in the organization ourselves or by means of acquisition. Okay, Cisco's invested in the region of around $3 billion in the last 2 years in acquiring security companies. We are approximately a $5 billion security industry right now within the organization itself. Now, just think about that. That's probably about 10% of Cisco's total business. Okay, so it's a major investment area for us. Okay. If we think about how we're going to use security to be more effective in our space, there's five areas of focus. And bro, this is the takeaway that we really want you guys to look at. So we'll look quickly at each one of those areas. What should we be doing to help drive down that digital space or help drive down the effective security posture in that digital space? Number one is really looking at stopping attacks at the edge. Kind of obvious, right? Build the walls, protect the gates. Okay. Think about next generation firewalls as being that space of technology. Cisco's Firepower Services is a direct play that we have there, and it's one of the most effective next-generation firewalls in the market space. Okay, we have third-party validation against that. Okay, one of the other areas, of course, is doing risk assessments to make sure that those devices that you're putting in are effective. And you'll see this come together in the next couple of slides. The second area is protecting users wherever they may be. Okay, now, I spoke about that early on. It's the thought of saying, well, when someone goes home, how can I extend that security all the way to the edge of where they exist? Now, the play that we have over there is something called Cisco Umbrella. Okay, it's a DNS layer protection service. If I can protect my customers right at the domain name services level, where they are doing those requests out to those sites that they are using, and I can be very effective at that posture edge, I'm effectively shutting down that broad band of the attack surface that is out there. Getting rid of the commodity stuff is probably where I want to be, but also extending the visibility, making sure that if something does occur, I have full visibility whether the user is on my premise or off my premise. Okay. The third area we should look at is controlling who gets on our networks. Okay, so the play that we have there is something that we call Cisco ISE, or the Identity Services Engine. I'm sure you guys are probably familiar with that. Cisco is very effective in that market in the local terms. We have a large install base out there with our customers, and it's really around those NAC systems, or network admission and control, around who gets on your network. Now, if I had to ask the audience, do you guys effectively know who is on your network at any point in time, what device they're using, and what the purpose of them being on their network is? Can anyone 100% say yes to me right now that they do know that? Yeah. Maybe yes, maybe no. Okay. If you do know, great, because that's one of the major starting points around understanding what are the gaps and the areas where I should be building services and protection against it. Okay. So in this case, we refer to network as a sensor or network as an enforcer, and the product is Cisco Identity Services Engine. Okay, simplifying network segmentation. Now, why should I be worried about segmenting my networks? We believe this is an area where people are not thinking enough about. Okay, think about the recent ransomware attacks we've seen. Think about, you know, the WannaCry's, the NetJizz or the NotPetya's that have come out. One of the emotions that we saw with those ransomware attacks was lateral movement. Now, how can you shut down lateral movement? Effective segmentation. Okay, it's the only method. Patching, of course, is a strategy, but it's only effective to a certain space. Segmentation is an effective way of controlling where things spread in the network and making sure that if something does become infected, it doesn't affect the rest of my network, or I can very quickly shut down segments to make sure that that doesn't happen. So Cisco has a technology that incorporates, again, with this network as a sensor, network as an enforcer technology that we refer to as TrustSec. And that's, again, driven by networking items, but also driven through the Identity Services Engine has been at play there. We also have a technology called StealthWatch, which is all around looking at baselining and understanding the flows in the network and then understanding who's talking to who. So if we think about the analogy of saying, well, hey, I use a badge to get in the door in the morning into my company, but then what happens when I walk around the building? I've got the video cameras watching where people are moving. Think about that in network terms. ISE is being that gate, and StealthWatch is being those security cameras around watching the traffic, understanding the baselines, and seeing what's normal and what has changed. Okay, the fifth way is really looking at finding and containing threats very quickly. Okay. So if I can understand who's on my network, how it's segmented, where it's controlled, where users are moving, I need to have an effective solution that's put in place to shut down those targeted attacks, shut down the malwares, shut down the ransomwares, understand the telemetry data around where things are laterally moving in the network, and understand where infections have occurred. So Cisco's Advanced Malware Protection Systems, or our AMP product set, is a way that we can provide that to customers in helping shut that down. We provide that from an endpoint point of view, from a network point of view, as well as from a gateway level point of view. Right. So bringing it all together, and guys, this is my last slide. We've got these very short breakout sessions, but just bringing it all together in some easy to digest areas. So the outcome that we want to drive with the solution, and not forgetting the services components that fit in with that. Whether those services components are driven directly through Cisco or driven by our partners is really up to you as the consumer around how you're going to be doing that. But just remember that the solution sets themselves are probably only as effective as the way that they're implemented and the way that they integrate it together. Now, using Cisco solution sets integrate very well together. The products all talk to each other. That's one of our base metrics. But of course, making sure that those are integrated together is really the area of the services that we speak to. Okay, it becomes easier because they do natively speak to each other, and it's not a matter of trying to use third-party systems to integrate them. But ultimately, you need to have some skill in there to be able to do that for you. Right, so the aim that we have for is effective security, and Cisco's mantra around that is really three things. Simple, trying to make those deployments very simple, make those integrations very simple. Make it open. Now, what do I mean by being open? Well, of course, the ability to integrate, but also the ability to work with third-party vendors, so other vendors that are out there in the networking space. And of course, making sure that we use open source technologies where applicable. And of course, drive open source technologies. Things like Snort, as an example, is a Cisco technology that is built into some of our product sets that is driven by the open source communities. And then, of course, automation is everyone's game. You know, we think about SDN. We think about the way that we're trying to drive automation into our networks. Security needs to be absolutely at that play level. And of course, having open APIs and having the ability for the product sets to speak to each other is really going to help us drive towards that simple, open, and automated way of building networks. Thank you, guys.